I need someone to look up Hebrews 12 in the Pew Bible study Bibles and find a page number for me. I did not do that yet. The message today is keep running the race of faith. There's a picture of our start line from last year. Ted was the leader of our group. He went out on bicycle and running the course. And we have young people, eager young runners there on the left. And we have our more experienced, maybe more talented runners kind of on the right side there. And on the right side of the screen, you also see our starter. That's Mr. Mark Egoff. He's again lined up to be our starter for this year's race. We're going to show you some pictures of the race going through the message today. Last year, we did the race as part of our celebrating of our 300th birthday. Do you remember that day? What a big day it was. What a fun Saturday we had with all the things involved with that. There are some really good memories from the event. Two of our front runners, I learned this after the race, were cruising down in the first mile of the race. The first mile is a good first mile. It goes out here on Kime and down into Grandview, and it's gradually downhill, and they were just enjoying the excitement of the front and the start of the race. Adrenaline's kicked in. They got this runner's, let's go. But around the mile, one of those two posed the question, I'm not sure which one it was, like, okay, how fast are we running? We're running around 6:30, 6:45 pace. And that realization, along with the body reaction to going that fast, to begin to realize we need to slow this thing down a little bit. Some adjustments were then made. The race winner of this race humbled the entire field because he won the race pushing a baby stroller. Come on, racers, Coventry racers, we can't let John Bush beat us again this year with a baby stroller. John Bush, if you're watching this, we're coming after you. Let's go. We had dads and sons. We had older and younger runners. Yeah, we had some who struggled with the challenge. Some who really pushed harder than others during the race. And some who just ran to enjoy the event. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm also a runner. I look to the Bible for truth, for inspiration, and for encouragement. And when the Bible uses sport analogy to teach a point, I get excited. And when they use racing analogy to drive something home, man, it lands right in the world that I live in. So I'm excited for the text this morning as we engage it. Hebrews 12, 1-3. Can I get a page number? 1717. I want to tell every believer in Jesus Christ here this morning that you are a runner in the race of faith. You're in the race. So we're looking at this text for all of us. Some of you are thinking, there's no way. Well, if Robin were here, she says, the only reason I run is if someone's chasing me with a gun. We're running the race of faith. Now, I don't believe our slide illustrator on the side there is here today to see how I highlighted his effort in the race. So someone needs to take a snapshot of that and text it to the Dukester, who's out on the course, I think, playing this morning. That's Duke in the finish line. I'm not so sure how much Duke pushed the 5K. I don't think, AJ just walked out, but he didn't push quite like AJ did. But we're hoping Duke runs again next year. The word is therefore that we begin our text with. So for all you Bible readers, if you start a passage with therefore, you should go back and look what came before it because it's all based upon the stuff ahead of that. So back in chapter 11, it's called the Heroes chapter of faith, the chapter of faith for heroes in the Bible, where the author of this text points to people and their faith actions and reminds us that we can look to them to keep going. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Praise be to God for the recording of this text to encourage us today. I'm going to share 2 points with you. Each of them has some sub things in it, but the first is this: just know and remember and recall that Jesus is our champion. Can you say that with me? Jesus is our champion. He's the one who ran the race. He's the one who crossed the finish line and declared, "It is finished." And he won over sin and death, and he is ruling now. He is the champion. We run because he ran. We run the race that he ran because he is who he is. A couple weeks ago, I talked to you about the brain and what you think and how it affects your living and following after Christ. And I said that because it's important to engage your brain, but it's also an engagement of the heart and passion that God wants. Engaging your heart. We do not want you to lose heart. So today is an encouragement to you, just as this text was meant to be an encouragement to those who read it 2,000 years ago. An encouragement to keep going. Run the race. It's a heart and it's a head thing. In the heart, so you do not grow weary and lose heart. My first ever attempt at a 5K, I went in over my head. I got involved in a race that was at Lehigh University. I was jumping into the JV race of a college race. What was I thinking? I was a basketball player in high school, played some football, baseball, running. Baseball running is very short, right? You go 90 feet and you just take a break. Unless you hit it really far, then you can run a little faster, a little further. That's how I ran races until I learned to run a little differently. I'm like, okay, I'm ready for a 5K. I lost heart during that 5K race. Discouragement set in. I set off. The JV men ran along with, I think, the varsity women. The varsity women were splitting, running a 5K, and the JV men were running, I believe, an 8K. So I'm in the mix. I'm running. I'm right with a bunch of people. I'm thinking, this is great. I'm cruising. And then the race paths split, men and women. And when they split, I realized, oh, shucks, there's no men around me. And I got to running and running, and it went out in this field. And you know what they do with behind the 5K runners in these races? They put a golf cart. And the golf cart's behind me. And at some point, they said, we're just going to pass this guy. The golf cart passed me and went ahead. Very last in the race. Boo-hoo. I lost heart. Aha, but I did catch one person. Someone was injured and they were limping, and I'm like, I can get that guy. And I got one, and I beat him at the finish line. It's a lesson for me about running the race and perspective. And also, it reminds me, even though we love the Lord our God, there can be a weariness that sets in for us. Remember why we're running the race of faith. Remember what fuels your passion. It's Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want you to just think about your heart passions a little bit. What are you passionate about? Because we have passions. Faith and following Jesus, I pray, is really high on your list, if not the top thing. The ideal is that it's the top thing. It's what drives us. It's what we get up and we think about in the morning. I want to follow the Lord today, right? But there are other passions in your life as well. You might have a passion for music or sports. Like, I think these three guys up here probably had a passion for music and certainly gift for music, as well as our other praise team, right? Maybe some of you are passionate about sports or food or coffee, traveling. Some of you are passionate about farming, exercise. Maybe your driving passion is making money or playing disc golf. We can have passions, interests, along with a passion for following Christ. It's a beautiful thing when your passion passion for living for Jesus and the kingdom overlaps with the gifts and passions you have with life. When someone who's passionate for following Jesus and gifted and passionate about music, then they use that platform to point others to Christ, it's a good thing. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about that. I want you to check your passions. What am I passionate about? What would I think about the most? And then ask some questions. First of all, is it sinful or make me more susceptible to sin? Has my passion become greater than God itself? In that case, maybe it's an idol. It becomes a god in your life. And there are some things that challenge us for that in this area. Sports is one of those. I told you that before, I'll tell you again. Some people are way more passionate and say, like, I got to get to this, I won't miss this, but they have no problems with missing whatever or following Christ. Check your passions. Do they hinder your love of Jesus and your following Jesus, or do they support that? And can your love for Jesus flow through those things? Check your passions. Let's talk about weariness in running the race of faith. That's listed in this text as something to be aware of, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. Does Jesus promise us in following him a life that's fluffy, comfortable? No. He says you're going to have troubles in this world. So sometimes if we just focus on the troubles, where the troubles kind of overwhelm us, we can go weary and say, what are we doing? What am I doing? Why make the effort? You might feel loneliness in your running in the race of faith. And as a runner, that's not a good place to be, because when you're lonely and you're by yourself, then all kinds of thinking can happen. And the longer you run, the more opportunity your brain is involved in the race and the outcome of the race. Like, there's a world championship track and field event going on now in Japan, and 100 meters, you don't have a long time to think about a lot of things. You start running, you run an 800, right? 800 meters, half a mile. That's long enough to, like, this is a little uncomfortable, this hurts. You start pushing that out to a mile or a 5K, right? 3.1 or a 10K or a half marathon. Man, there's a lot of time for the brain to kind of lead you to think whatever. Right? So focus your brain. Getting your brain right is really key for long distance running, so you don't go weary and you don't think about the bad things. But being by yourself is a place where this is you're really susceptible. Some of you have dealt with ailing bodies or family members that have sickness over a long time. And that can be weary. How long do I have to be caregiver? Or how long do we walk through this? Some of you might be seeing a lack of success in the areas of your ministry. And you can grow weary. Some of you might be experiencing opposition and evil from this world because of your faith. It's happening. But I want to remind you of the people that the author points to, the cloud of witnesses. Noah, you know what Noah did? That was a great act of faith. What did he do? He built an ark. That wasn't done in a week. It wasn't done in a month or a year. Some estimate maybe 100 years. Oh my gosh, I'm tired of building this thing. Don't grow weary. Abraham and Sarah, hey, you're going to have the number of children that will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Year after year after year after year. Don't grow weary. Joseph. His brothers threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. He ended up in prison under a false claim. Don't grow weary. run the race. Moses spent years leading an obstinate people in the wilderness. 40 years of people complaining regularly. That's better for us to go back to Egypt. At least there we had this kind of food. So the encouragement from this letter is given so that we will not grow weary. The key for that, no matter what your weariness is and where may I touched on it, maybe I didn't, but the key to that, he says, is to remember our Lord Jesus. So the passion that you have for Christ, it can diminish. It can, and you can grow weary. But he says, we don't want you to. So consider him. Remember our Lord. So this pushes our heart passion back to our head. Consider him. Remember. Remember. Jesus is the pioneer of faith. The pioneer, I see that word and I think of people treading off into the wilderness to make a new way. Let's find a new way to the Pacific Ocean, right? Let's go out and make a way into the wilderness. Jesus pioneered faith. He lived new paths of correct obedience to the Father. He gave new revelations. Jesus gave his followers new discoveries. He brought the kingdom of heaven focus. He displayed a power of God that had never been experienced. He volunteered to stand in for our punishment. He says, I'll take on all the shame, all the sin, so that we can be free. What a great love that is. God pioneered into a new territory with the compass of the Father's will and the power of sacrificial love. Consider the lengths Jesus traveled and the experience he had in his journey to the cross. Jesus is our pioneer of faith. Right? He led the way. He showed the way. He traversed the unknown territory so that we could go through it as well. Remember that he's the pioneer. He lived the life here. He's a great high priest, it says in Hebrews, that has experienced everything that we have. We're following after him. That's our God. He's also the perfecter of faith. Bless you. The way is marked by Jesus. We can't do it perfectly. We won't do it perfectly. We don't have to, because he did. He's the perfecter of faith. We worship him for that. We should run on his course. It says that Jesus endured such opposition from sinners. Jesus was opposed. Sinners that were against him, but he endured the cross for the joy set before him. Man, I sometimes just marvel how strong Jesus was. What a warrior. What a champion he was. He was not deterred. There are times where I'm out on a training run and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I'm stopping. And sometimes maybe that's a wise thing because of whatever. The tacos I ate last night for supper. Oh, I gotta stop this thing. Or sometimes I feel like walking away from ministry because you know what? I can grow weary. But then you remember Jesus and how strong he was. And I lean into his example, his faith, and I said, Jesus, help me. Help me not to grow weary, but to do what I can do for your glory. He endured the cross for the joy set before him. The joy set before him. What do you think was that joy set before Jesus on the cross? I think the glory of heaven. I think going back to be with the Father, because it then says he sat down at the right hand of the Father. I think the joy of being obedient to the end, right, is a good thing. Like when you run a race and you train and you get to the finish line and you cross and you say, like, that's good. We did it. You all who ran that race last year, you did it. There's a good thing about finishing. There's some pain in the process sometimes, but when you cross the line and you get like, yeah, All right. That's good. That's an accomplishment. I think also Jesus saw the potential of salvation across the years for those who would believe. The joy set before him, the joy of the good of others. I think in some ways also, Jesus knew that he was crushing the head of the enemy. Yeah, you don't know darkness, you don't know evil, what I am doing by giving my life on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. So, it's an engagement of the heart. It's an engagement of the mind. Check your passions. Remember him and what he has done for us. Jesus is our champion, right? Jesus is our champion. That's why we run the race of faith. Now, let's talk about adjusting your running tactics. Next slide. There are some runners. Look at this runner, top left. He is excited for this year's race coming up. Let's go. Gabe. Then we got Todd and we got Wyatt. Sarah is really, well, there's a smile from Rich down there. Brittany's smiling. Sarah's running. There's Brittany and April. Dave's finishing hard. I'm not sure who's right behind Dave, but it's a young runner, maybe a walker. Oh, I blew up this picture here. You know why? Look at the speed on that turn. Look at the hair flowing, how fast he's going. He was finishing hard. AJ, let's go. The hair is intact for this year's race. Here we go. Jeff is running. Rich, and there's Noah making the turn. That's not everyone that was in it, but I just put some in there just to show you a cloud. We're in it together. The cloud of witnesses. Go ahead, next slide. Adjust your running tactics. A cloud of witnesses is an important part of our race of faith. We're not meant to run this by lone, solo running. Okay, so don't go after it alone. Be in fellowship with other people. Know that you're not alone. We're not alone as a congregation. It's not just about us. It's about the church going in the direction, following Jesus, our champion. You know, in biblical times, there were great stadiums. The amphitheaters where athletic competitions were held. The great cloud of witnesses suggested here are those listed in chapter 11 who have acted in faith. Remember those who have gone before us. They've given us the baton at this point, and it's our time to run. And we are training our young ones to pick up the baton after us to continue to run the race of faith. It's a family of faith, Christ-centered family of faith that passes us on from generation to generation until the Lord returns. This is just our segment, our time. Remember those who have gone before us and be in step with those who are moving in the right direction now. Adjust your running techniques. I want to encourage you to watch and follow Jesus. It says in Hebrews 12:2 that we fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix on him. There's a submission to doing this as we run the race of faith. We have to look and see what he did so that we can follow after him. He has run it before us. He's the pioneer and the perfecter. How do you do this? I want to encourage you that some of you need to adjust your running tactics because you need to engage a little bit more in spiritual disciplines. You need to be praying more, connecting to the life source, talking to him, listening to him, and so that we can stay on track, praying, reading the scripture, reading the Bible, meditating upon that, thinking about it, fueling the heart passion. You might also need to practice some silence and solitude from the ways of the world or journaling. Spiritual disciplines help us to keep focused on Jesus. How did Jesus navigate the needy, the unbelievers, the mockers, the celebrations, the conversions, the growth? What did Jesus long for? What can I learn from Jesus about running the race of faith? That's why we fix our eyes on him, so that we can run like he did. That's an adjustment some of you need to make. You're not training well. You're not training properly. You need to turn your eyes and your mind to him more. Here's a second one. Throw off everything that hinders. Now, I'm going to say that I don't think that necessarily this is a sinful thing because we get the sin next, right? Throw off everything that hinders. My father-in-law was a runner also, and he ran 20, 30, 40 years ago. And he jumped into a marathon. Back in that day, some of the equipment wasn't as good as it was now. It was a cold day, rainy day, and he had on cotton longs, hooded sweatshirt, and pants. And he's running and running and running. And if you've done that, you know that those get heavy when they're wet. And he was carrying this weight around to the point where he just couldn't go any further, couldn't finish the race. Throw off the things that are hindering you running after Jesus. I think it can be some of our just casual practices, where we spend our time. It could be our phones and our scrolling, our social media. Is it sinful to look at some of these things? Maybe not. But guess what? It's not helping you follow after Jesus one bit. It could be a mindset. It could be, for me, I think that's one of them. Like, Mark, you really have to be super perfect here in order to fix this. I don't have to fix this. I can't fix this. I got to let that go. That's hindering my following. That's wearing me out. I can't fix you. I can't fix all of you. That's not my job. It never was my job. But I'm a doer. I want to help. I want to solve the problem, get it right. I got to let that go. That's hindering me from effectively following Christ. You might have something too. What's holding you back? It might be fear. Fear of the unknown. It might be the self-strength mindset. What's hindering your following after Christ and bearing fruit for His glory? And then he says, you need to throw off the sin that so easily entangles. You know, in our heroes list, you know that Noah had a problem with some sin. So did Abraham and Moses. All the people listed in the Bible had an issue with sin. And yet God still uses us. But he says, listen, if you want to be effective and you want to run without growing weary and you want to run with perseverance, get rid of the stuff that's holding you down, holding you back. Sin easily entangles. Easily entangles. Sometimes when I was weed eating in the summer working, and I would hate it when I'd get this kind of weeds and brush that I was weed whacking, and it just wrapped around the head of the weed whacker. Remember, get there, then I got to get out a pocket knife and cut it out and spend 10 or 15 minutes cleaning it up. Okay, back in business. Wrapped up again. Oh, come on. I need a heavier string, or I need to avoid that stuff. Whatever. Sin can easily entangle you, wrap you up, and keep you from being effective for following Christ. It hinders your progress. It diminishes your witness for Christ. It deceives you. And it robs joy and contentment from you and gives you shame. And then you enter into this whole, I got to enter into, and you can, and we have to, you enter into the process of being made right again with God. Confession, repentance, and get back in the race. Really? Do you want me to get back in the race, God? Of course, He does. Get back in the race and run. Throw off the sin. Notice it. Notice what sin is, and that's what we get when we read the Bible and we look at what God says is sin and not sin. Confess it and take steps to eliminate it and asking the Lord for help. Some of our training habits need to be adjusted. We've got to call out sin. You do that for you. It's much better if you do that for yourself. Sometimes we do that to each other. We have to. We're called to. You're like, wait a second. Isn't that judgment, Pastor Mark? Jesus taught this. He says, before you do that with anyone else, you first inspect the plank that's in your eye, so that you can address the speck that's in your brother's eye. So yeah, we're called to, but not before a whole lot of self-inspection. Throw off the sin that so easily entangles. I can't think of running a 5K with a 20-pound backpack on me. Or a marathon. You don't do that. You want to be as efficient and light as possible to go in the direction you're trying to go. Run with perseverance. The word perseverance implies It's not always going to be easy. Run with perseverance. You don't just float through the race of faith. You have to be engaged and you have to be going in the right direction. There's going to be hills and valleys. There'll be different seasons, some more pleasant than others, some more challenging. How do you persevere in the race of faith? I ran the Philadelphia Marathon for the first time in around 2004-ish. I don't know, how many years ago is that? That's 21 years ago. Boy, I was young then. Whew, and I was fast. I was so fast, I ran that first half in like an hour 27. That would have been my PR for a half marathon. I was flying. I was running like 630 miles, cruising. Boom. I wasn't wise. I crashed hard. I knew I was in trouble at mile 13, leaving the city, going out towards Manayunk. I was in trouble. Body's starting to lock up already. I'm like, this is not going to be good. And it wasn't. I didn't fuel during the race. I didn't take in things. I didn't plan for it. I was hoping they'd have them on these aid stations. They weren't there. No fuel in the body for an hour and a half, running hard, expending much. And at that point, I didn't have a whole lot on me. There wasn't extra stuff. So I experienced low blood sugar. I couldn't, things started to get fuzzy and blurry. And I thought for sure I was going to die. Literally. But then I thought, surely they'll see a runner by the side of the road. They'll pick me up and put me in an ambulance and get me back. I couldn't see. Got into Manayunk and someone along the street gave me a banana and then an orange. But at that point, I started walking because I couldn't see in front of me. I was just walking. I made it to the finish line, but I was a half an hour beyond when I should have been. And my family thought, surely he died out there. Where is he? My younger brother, Christian, came out looking for me, and they saw me, and I ended. And there's pictures of this where I just look, ugh, not good. I didn't run with perseverance. I didn't run very well. I learned a lot from that. I learned that you have to fuel well along the way. You have to eat and drink routinely from what Jesus offers in the race of faith. If you don't, you're going to bonk. You can't run the race of faith on self-strength. You rely on His strength and His victory by fueling for Christ. You consider Him. You persevere by going with others. You will grow weary and lose heart way sooner when running alone versus with a partner. So true. So true. One of my running partners is here this morning, and there's things and times where we're running together where I wouldn't do the workout unless he was running with me. Isn't that true? Yeah. You persevere by running at a sustainable pace. The race of faith is not a sprint. You don't have to figure it out and do it all in 6 months or a year. Think to all your life. It's a race. It's a long journey, lifelong journey. Adjust your running tactics. I got another picture coming up, another slide, which has some more there. There's John. He was the winner of the male division, and there's Lydia. She was the winner of the female division. Good job. Where are they? Where's Lydia? All right. Jeff, some others there. Don't know their names. There's Tim. There's Isaiah, Dave, JR. Over here, I got Asher and Wyatt and Noah, and that's one of the Batdorf girls. I don't know which one for sure. She's not looking at me. Jacob. I got one more story to wrap this up. I've got more racing stories, but I won't tell them all today. This one seems a little bit appropriate. You can go to the next slide. This was when I was serving at Woodbury before coming here in 2014. We were doing a fundraiser for Glad Tidings India. You know Bill Tate. He's been here to help us with Glad Tidings India. They did a ministry there with women in India where $25 would sponsor a woman for almost a year of Bible literacy teaching. The women would commit to going for a year, and they would learn to read from the Bible. So $25 would sponsor a woman for to do that. So I'm like, Shirley, what can I do? What can I do? I can't make something. I can't quilt something. I can't. What can I do? I said, I'll run 25 miles, and I'll get people to sponsor me for every mile that I run. Hopefully asking people for $25 and getting a number of them to give that money to help sponsor women. And so that was my project. And that required me to train some, but I was not in marathon shape. Planned the course, got some support along. I asked my friend Randy and Kevin to ride bikes. I think Skylar helped ride bikes too. Tracy was food support. Kind of, she was the team director on this, making things happen. Jen was there as well. And I also got two runners to run with me, one for the first, I don't know, both of them were doing like 10 miles. Oh, yeah, it happened to like 13, 14, 15 miles. I'm like, this stinks. I hurt. I don't want to run any further. But I kept going. You know why? Because I told people that were sponsoring me, I'm going to run. I'm going to run 25. Because so I had sponsorships. I didn't want to let them down. But I also thought of those that would benefit from me doing this and getting to that 25 miles. I was never so happy when my watch said 25 miles. I was at the corner of Salemville Road and Texas Corner. The landing point for the end of this thing, the party, the post-race party, was at my mom's place. That was the home base. And it was about a mile and a half away. So someone had a genius idea that I should just keep running and finish out like a full marathon distance. I'm so close. That would be my coach, my team director. I said, there's no way. I can't do it. I'm done running. I am weary. I have lost heart. She goes, no, you can't. You can do it. You just keep going. You know, it's just down here. The last half mile was just uphill to my mom's. I'm like, I don't want to do that hill. No, you can do it. It's fine. Keep going. Encouragement. Keep going. Pleading. Keep going. Okay. So I went slowly but surely, kept going and going. I got to climb that hill. I don't want to climb that hill. I got to get up there. Climbing the hill, Randy was riding with me, and then I realized why the encouragement. I could see the road was lined with people. Friends, family. Larry was there, Larry Grable. And they started to run with me. And something happened. My body surged with adrenaline and the pain left. And I just ran faster, gaining speed towards the finish line. So I remember that, church, as a lesson for the race of faith. We're going to a finish line. That's going to be far greater than any limit that you set for yourself. And there's going to be cheering and celebration as you cross into the presence of the Master. And he'll say, well done. So keep running. Don't lose heart. Run the race of faith. Praise team, can you assemble? Lord, thank you for the chance today to remember this encouragement. We all need encouragement, Father. We do. Because this world is broken. It's hard. But Jesus, you've overcome the world. We remember that. You've overcome. You're our champion. And we want to please you, Lord. We want to please you by the way we run this faith and live it out. So capture our hearts again today, Lord. Fuel our passion to be where you are and to do what you're doing, Lord, so that you may be glorified and we might find joy and satisfaction from running in your shadow. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you and we worship you. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand and sing our closing song.